Sunday night, February the 15th, 1976.
Let's open our Bibles, please, to the 26th of Matthew, beginning with 31, verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now that word offended is better translated stumble in some text. Though all men shall stumble because of thee, yet will I never stumble. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter saith unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now tonight, I want to talk with you, and this is applicable to our young people as well as to our middle and aged. In other words, none of us are immune from ego of the flesh, the weakness and ego of the flesh that I'd like to talk with you about. This is a word of caution. It's a caution, word of caution to me. It's a word of caution to you. The likelihood of our trusting in our own human strength rather than in Christ. And in order to understand what we are, we should remember that as unsaved people, we're just naturally enemies to God. We're strangers to God. We're dead to God. And then when we are regenerated, it is the inside part, the spirit, that's created new. And the real Christian part of us is the spirit on the inside that has been regenerated, made new in Christ Jesus. Now this is what the man Nicodemus didn't understand at first. And in a way I'm kind of glad that he didn't, because the Lord explained it so thoroughly that it made it easy for me to understand it. You remember Nicodemus spoke to Jesus and wanted to know about salvation, about righteousness, and this and that. And so Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that a man must be born again. To which Nicodemus replied, How can a man be born again? You see, he's thinking about an earthly birth. He's thinking about a fleshly birth. You think about a natural birth. And so Jesus went on to say that he wasn't talking about the flesh, but he talked about being born from above, being born from on high, the spiritual part of a man. And there is an outer man and there is an inner man. There is an old nature and there is a new nature. And so this this fleshly part that's still a part of us will bear fruit. And in order to understand what this fruit is, we should go to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, and you'll have a partial listing. I think you've got a pretty good listing there. If you'll just turn there with me, and we'll begin reading with verse 16. Galatians 5:16. He said, "This I say then," he's talking to Christian people, he said, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now you see, if you were of a holiness denomination, they deny that there is we're just made perfect, that's all, when you have received a certain state or position. And you just don't sin, you don't have any deeds of the flesh at all. But these Galatian brethren were not holiness. And you're not holiness. And so I think this applies to you and to me tonight. When he said, "Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which means strife, emulations, which means jealousies, wrath, strife, that's factions, seditions, that's divisions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling." Well, reveling could take in a lot of things. Now, this is one of the things when we reveling in. Well, you can go too far in so many. I know it used to be that anyone who danced, a church member who went to a dance or participated in dancing, was excluded from the church under this ground. Here on it says it was reveling. And so this is one of the things that especially our forefathers. But it'll go further than just that. Reveling. Take in such things as gambling. That's a word I'm trying to think of. And by the way, that would include horse racing too, wouldn't it? All right. "And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now he contrasts that with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you've got these fruits of the flesh, you know what we really are by nature. In the fleshly man, that is, in the natural man, as we were born in the world, and the part of us that has not been recreated. And so there's one, however, part of the flesh that we're going to talk about right now, and that is pride. Pride. This is a human characteristic. In the book of Proverbs 16:18, the writer said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall." Now, this is the thing that happened to the Apostle Peter this night. But we don't leave the other disciples out either, because it says, so said they all. All of the disciples said what Peter said. They backed him up. They said, that's right. He said, even if I have to die for you, I will not stumble. I'll not be offended. But the Apostle Peter was the spokesman. He was the one that seemed to be more concerned than all the rest of them. You see, they had just finished the Lord's Supper, the first one. Jesus instituted it, and they went out toward Gethsemane. So with this in his mind, here we have been breaking bread, and Jesus said, my body's going to be broken. Here we have taken the fruit of the vine, and Jesus says, this is my blood. He's indicated now that he's going to be broken in body. His blood is going to be shed. And Jesus turned right around and said to them, said, now this night, the shepherd of the flock will be smitten, and the flock will be scattered abroad. And the apostle just knew that that could not be so. There was no way in his mind at that time that he would ever be offended, that he would ever stumble, that he would not be scattered. He was with the Lord tooth and toenail. He was with the Lord in heart, in mind, in body. He was going to stay with the Lord. There was no way, there was no power, there was no anything that could make him fall away from the Lord, stumble, and be offended because of Christianity. There was just no way. That is, in his own mind. And yet the Lord was telling him, he said, why, this very night, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. There's no way, Lord, I will not do it, he said. In the book of 1 John, the second chapter, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, that is all the worldly things, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now here you have the three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, all of us, to a certain measure, should have pride in ourselves. But you've got to qualify that. You must have pride in yourself in order, in other words, to make a better human being of yourself than you have been. But the pride of life, the Bible says, the pride of life, like the lust of the flesh and lust of the eye, is not of the Father. It is of this world. Now, if we can get every one of us to see that there is a world, this is the thing that is under the condemnation of God. The world is not of the Father. We're living in the world under the condemnation of God. And there is... And it is estranged from the Father. It is not of the Father. And the pride of life, which is of the world, is contrary to spiritual life, to Christianity, to all that God is and does. And so we've read now the fruits of the flesh. So that we can recognize that these things that we are, do, and think are not of the Father, so that we can guard against them. Peter and all the others were sure of themselves. Now you see, you can be sure of yourself, or you can be sure of yourself. You get the difference? I'm sure of myself. I know what I am. Therefore, I have no confidence in myself, no confidence in the flesh. I'm sure of myself, and therefore I do not trust myself. And I have learned this because of the experiences of the Apostle Peter and the others and what happened there that night. It certainly is an ill wind that blows no good. And if I can't learn from the experiences of other people, then I'm a very poor student. So these men, voiced especially by the Apostle Peter, who said, "I will never stumble. I'll die with you, but I'll never stumble." But he did. And if it can happen to the Apostle Peter, it can happen to me. And pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, I'm not talking about falling out of grace and going to hell. The Bible doesn't teach that, but it does talk about people falling. It tells about people being offended. It tells people who have deserted the Lord. It talks about people who have walked out on Christ. Now, here was a great preacher. I don't know very many preachers in the Bible greater than the Apostle Peter. And yet that night, when he was there in the garden, Peter, James, and John, the three who went with him after they left the other apostles, they went a little further. Peter, James, and John sort of to guard and to watch and to pray. Jesus went on by himself. And when he came back, he found these men asleep, awaking there. "What," he said, "can't you wait, can't you watch 1 hour?" Oh, they were so sleepy. It's midnight now, and so they're so sleepy. He said to them, the Spirit indeed is willing. Isn't that? Now that gives us a clue that the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And here the man who just 2 hours before had sworn that he would die before being offended is sleeping on guard. Three times he went to sleep that night. Then came the arrest with a mob of soldiers, a great multitude of people and soldiers that came to arrest Jesus. And what do you think happened to the Apostle Peter? He got scared. He wouldn't stay hitched. And he left. Now, he followed the crowd back to Jerusalem. It wasn't very far, about a half a mile. And up there in this judgment chamber that night, when they were trying the Lord and accusing the Lord and putting a crown of thorns on him and slapping him around and stripping his clothes off of him and beating him, Peter made his way inside the court. They had this charcoal going, and he wore it in his hands. And there was a young woman there that spotted it. Now, she heard the way he talked. She noticed the way he dressed. He was a Galilean. And he heard the way the Apostle Peter spoke. And she said, "You're one of them." And he backed up. He said, "I am not one of them." became inflamed. He's angry. He was red, flushed, and phased. He said, I'm not. And she said, well, your speech betrays you. You are one of them. And with an oath, he denied Jesus. He said, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those Christians. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Now, we have had people who have said, well, this is really not a curse that Jesus doesn't use in profanity here just because he denies the Lord with an oath. But I rather think that he did, and I'll tell you why. Because in verse 72, again, he denied with an oath, I know not the man. But go down to verse 74. After, said a while, they came and stood by and said, Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. It makes you know. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now, there's just no way to get him around it. Most might as well say he used profanity. Now, this is a Baptist preacher. This is a Christian man. This is not only a disciple. This is an apostle. Think about it. One of the apostles. Cursed. He swore. He denied Jesus. But when he heard the rooster crow, the Bible says that he remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Thank the Lord for that. He went out and wept. He repented. He's sorry down in his heart and his soul. But the first thing that I want you to note about is the fact of his pride. He was sure of himself. He said, I will not. Now, where does that put me? Where does it put you? Folk, let's don't be sure of ourselves, except to say, I know how weak I am. That's how sure I am of myself. I know how weak I am, and I know what I'm likely to do. So he fell that night. He fell from his standing as the warm, close side of Jesus Christ, dedicated Christian creature. He fell into disgrace. He fell into sin. Oh, what a fall it was. Now, how to prevent a fall? This is an important thing. Now, I want you to remember that. How to prevent a fall? Number one, recognize your own weakness. In the book of Philippians 3:3, it was the Apostle Paul who talked about those of us. He said, who have no confidence in the flesh. Now, that's the first thing that we ought to learn about ourselves. See, we've talked about the fruits of the flesh so that you'll recognize just what the flesh is by the fruits that it bears. Now, the apostle said to have no confidence in the flesh. You can have confidence in people because of their Christian character. And you can recognize that they're going to do certain things that are good and honorable and faithful. But at the same time, they're living in the flesh. And they are likely to fail because of the flesh. Don't have any confidence in the flesh, not your own or anyone else's. No confidence in the flesh. If you do, you're going to be in for a disappointment. 40 or 41 years I've been preaching. I've been a Christian longer than that. I know myself, I've known thousands of Baptists. I've known some good ones, and I've known some sorry ones, and I've known some in between. But I've never known a perfect one yet. Every one of us have got both natures, the spiritual inside nature and the outer nature, and the outer nature is of the flesh. It's the part that's going to die. And the undertaker's going to put it in a coffin. It's the part that will be buried in the ground. And it's the part that you better not trust. Have no confidence in the flesh. And so the next thing, don't depend upon self, but depend upon Christ. If you don't depend upon yourself, but you do depend upon Christ, you can never fall. Jesus never fails. So, if you're depending upon Him, you won't fail. No way of failing. Jesus never fails. Now go back to these people we call the Jews. They had a law. Who gave it to them? God. Therefore, it was a good law. God wouldn't give them anything bad. They had the Ten Commandments, and they had all the law that grew out of the Ten Commandments. It's known in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These are the laws of God given to the Jews. And yet, not one Jew was ever saved by the law. Now, why? All you've got to do is turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and read verse 3. And it said, because of the weakness of the flesh. The Jew couldn't keep the law of God because of the weakness of the flesh. I'm trying to show you that this thing that we're talking about tonight is a universal thing. It's not unique to you. We're all weak. And all God's people have been weak from the time that Adam fell. And we're still weak. And all of our children will be weak. And the law cannot give life because of the weakness of the flesh. We're not able to do the law. And if we could, there would still be that sinful nature with which we were born. So the law fails not because of the weakness of the law, but for the weakness of the flesh. It isn't the law's fault. In the book of Galatians, we read of the fruits of the flesh. And Paul said that these things are contrary to the Spirit. That is, there is a continual warfare that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit. In a child of God. Now, how did Paul know about it? Well, let's turn to the book of Romans and I'll show you. 7th chapter. Paul had some experiences of his own. He said, for, verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin under the law, that it's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here's a child of God. His name is Paul. And he lived right after the Apostle Peter. In fact, as he might have known the Apostle Peter, no doubt did. And he also was an apostle. And here is an apostle. And this apostle says that he found no good in his flesh, how to perform it. But he, in other words, he knew himself. He knew what he was. And he had no confidence. In fact, he's the one that said to have no confidence in the flesh. Now let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Listen to this. Chapter 12, verse 9. He said, I besought the Lord thrice to remove this thorn in the flesh that he had that kept buffeting him, the messenger of Satan. And he said, that is God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, you should begin to see how this thing works. My strength is made perfect. I am perfected in strength in weakness. Now, that just doesn't make sense quite yet, does it? Let's go on and read. Most gladly, therefore, will I suffer, or will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in or upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, that is, weaknesses and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In other words, the weakness, Paul said, I'm glad to have it because when I'm weak, I'm strong, I'm depending upon Christ. Christ upon me, not me, but Christ. Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in us. Because we're weak, we must have Christ. When we have Christ in us, then we are strong. Yet not us, but Christ that liveth in us. So, the weakness and the ego of the flesh must be watched. We must understand how weak we are and how likely we are, like the Apostle Peter, when he said, I know I will not stumble this day, nor any other time, even if I die, I'll not stumble. We're likely to, because pride goes before destruction. The Lord will let us fall in order to take that ego and that flesh, which is of the world, the pride of life, which is of the world, take it out of us. Let's don't get proud, arrogant, boast about what we're going to do and can't do, because just the very time that we think that we're not going to do it is when we're going to fall. You just don't know how cunning the devil is and how it can lay a trap, a snare for us. So let's be a word of caution. Let's be careful. Don't trust in yourself. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. Shun the appearance of evil. Recognize how weak you are. Say, oh God, it must be you and you alone. You will become strong, powerful in Jesus Christ. But you'll be like Paul. You say, yet it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Dear Father in heaven, we come now praying a blessing upon this congregation. We're glad that we have the Bible and how that it warns us against trusting in this weak flesh. A flesh that is so weak that it has no more reason than to assert itself and to make us think that we are strong in the flesh. But our Father, may we know it, may we realize what it is and cut it out and turn ourselves completely over to you, knowing that in you we cannot fail, but without you we're already a failure. We ask in the name of Christ and for his sake, amen.